Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even the people that you despise, your mortal enemies, about this, because this is a cause everybody needs to get behind. This affects all of us. In spades, we are all connected in all this. That's right. It's true. I'm not just saying this as a guy who's looking for listeners. I'm saying this is a problem that affects all of us, everyone. So, I'm host DJ Butterfly Feces, and on the other side of this line is the one, the only, there'll never be another one, Organic OK. Organic, say hello.
Hello. How you doing?
All right. You're listening to Cocoon from the Microphone. All right? Now, this show is brought to you by Organic OK, and we encourage you not just to listen, but to talk. What is going on with you? Please call Lynn. We're here. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. I wish someone would call in. Anywho, let's go on to that. Let me start from the beginning, as I often do. There I was, just, I was an average guy. Everything about me was average. I was a Joe Blow, blue-collar guy, ordinary, you know? I was born and raised in McKinleyville. McKinleyville. You know, we've been all over. We've been basically surveying all these different areas for, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? People to help. We've been all over, haven't we? We've covered the globe, and yet I still maintain that McKinleyville, California is the best place there is. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. I was an average guy getting by in life. I knew everybody in town. Everybody knew me. We all knew each other. I was average. I was the kind of guy who basically just stopped to enjoy and indulge himself. And you know what? There's a lot of that to do in McKinleyville. We've got trails you can hike on. You can horseback ride on. Once again, horses have the right of way. We have it's in Northern California, so it snows. You can ski, sled, snowboard, toboggan. But we also have a beach there, so you can tan. You can surf, boogie board, windsail, parasail. I did all this. I did everything there was to do, really, in McKinleyville. I did it all. I did it all in spades. This was my plan in life. I wasn't going to be one of those people who basically try to go to college and try to find one of those really hard, high-demand skills that pay a lot of money, and you want to spend the rest of your life concerned with your career. Your career is all you are. You are a slave to your career. You miss out on life. You become a prisoner. And even those people I know, as much money as they're pulling down, they're always broke. Because their liabilities, expenditures get bigger and bigger. There's debt left to be paid over at the end of the month, and it builds and builds until they're horribly in debt and they haven't saved a penny. I know this. I've been knowing this. And I said I wasn't going to be that guy. The truth is, I basically just wanted to sit back, stop, and smell the roses. I wanted to indulge myself in a little whatever. I'll take any job. I'm not going to spend my life worrying about money. I know everybody does. You worry about another doll that's going to take you to the next day. But I would take any job, do anything, just so I could sit back and indulge myself. I was a C-average kid my whole life. I was average. Well, finally it happened. I finally graduated high school. And I knew guys who were basically repeated their senior year intentionally. They didn't want to graduate. They were afraid because they said once they hand you that diploma, childhood is over. And that did terrify me. Wouldn't that terrify you? I mean, you're out there basically... You're not a child anymore. It's gone forever. The truth was, I wanted to get better. I wanted to be better. I suddenly realized maybe I should do something. As an adult, I don't know. I was basically thought maybe I should be like everybody else. Career, you feel the world passing you by. It's what happened. I was living in my parents' home. I said that I had a one-room apartment. That's what I called it. But my dad said, I can't call it that if I'm not paying rent. And I wasn't. And the reason that basically I didn't pay rent because I couldn't get a job. Even those bottom-end jobs, those really low-demand skill jobs people have, now those are gone. There's not jobs available anywhere. Everybody's trying to go to college and get some high-demand skill, the field or whatever. And there are foreigners, immigrants coming from the worst parts of the world who are now willing to take the jobs that nobody else wants. And in McKinleyville, we had everything. Nobody really wanted to leave, which really meant that there weren't any jobs available, period. There weren't jobs and there weren't places to live. I remember feeling like I was in trouble. I don't know what I was going to do. I stayed with my parents. Spent years. I actually had my own blog talk radio show even before this one. It's how I got the name DJ Butterfly Feces. And once again, the truth is, I didn't personally, you know, like, I wasn't spinning discs or nothing. I was one of those people who said, what was wrong with the world and what we need to do? We need to take action now. We got to do something about the cause, the world, for the greater good, the collective evolutionary consciousness of humanity to evolve to a greater world. I don't think anybody was listening. I don't think anybody knew how to listen. I mean, the truth is, it didn't matter who I was. Internet radio, do people really listen to it? I've often wondered how you tune into this thing. It's not like the radio, the terrestrial radio, the basic radio we all come to know, that's in your car or your alarm clock or your shower. All those little people really understand. How do you listen to internet radio? I asked my friends to listen to it, but I don't think they knew how. I don't think they knew. I don't think they wanted to. So they know the guy who's on the radio. So what? They're not going to give that big a shout out. The same major. If I wanted him to, I need to make a big splash, major waves. My parents let me stay around as long as they did. They said because I was their son and they loved me. But you want to know something? I don't think that was really entirely the case. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I really got the feeling they let me stay as long as they did because otherwise they have to talk to each other. I was a buffer, you understand. My parents really resented each other. They stayed together as long as they did because they didn't have the energy to leave. And it was too late. Who else would have them, you know? And they kept me around because, well, once again, I was a buffer between the two of them. But that didn't mean my father wanted me to stick around forever. He finally, around the end of the year, the holidays, he told me he wanted me out. I told him there were no jobs, no places available. And he told me people actually leave town, they leave the state even, to go looking for a job, for a place to live. And maybe it was time I did the same. No, honestly, really. I mean, I had been here long enough. It was time for me to go. It was time. It was past time. I said, it's the holidays. Can't you wait until the end of until the year's over? New Year's Day? He said, no, I want you gone now. That was a bitter blow. One day you wake up and you realize you're not the little boy anymore. You don't realize how hard surviving in the world is until you actually have to. So I decided I wasn't going to beg. I mean, I realized I wasn't that happy there anymore anyway. I packed my things. I left with the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't even half full, and I walked out of the house. Didn't look back. Okay, I looked back. I guess, I don't know. I was thinking, maybe my parents are going to come around. Maybe this can't be happening. I can't be homeless. You see, when it happens at first, you're sort of in, you know, shock. Like, I'm not actually on the street now, am I? I'm not actually a vagabond. See, that's the term I use. Organic will back me up on this. There are a lot of terms they have for people who don't have a place to live. I prefer vagabond. Anywho, there I was. Past destitution, whatever, nowhere to go, nowhere to live. What was I going to do? What, get a job? They're not going to hire somebody they know doesn't have a place to live, you know. Where would they, how would they call you? I was thrown out. Sometimes I realized, I knew that we're all a couple bad breaks from the street. And when you're out there, odds are they're not going to want to, when they throw you out, they're not going to want to pick you back up again. We don't live in good times and good terms. Things are bad. So there I was, walking down Hammond Trail like I usually do, but feeling very different. I thought, maybe me and my parents might still work all this out. Maybe we're going to get back in touch together again. That's a fact. Maybe we will. It's true. Could work out. It could happen. I went past the campsite in the area where they had the picnic and whatever. I noticed a whole bunch of people there, people I didn't recognize. I wonder what their deal was. They were all laughing, having a good time. I wonder what their story was. I went over there to say hello. I said, I meant clear who I was. I know in a way you shouldn't tell strangers your name, but what did I have to basically be so cautious about? I'm on the street now. Maybe these guys were too. Maybe we could be friends. I don't know. The big guy, the big hulking juggernaut of a guy came up to me, shook my hand, and said, hello, I'm organic, okay. I wasn't sure I heard him right. But he told me that was his moniker. That's the name he gave himself on the street. And he told me how he was going around, honestly, on this heroic crusade, picking garbage up, cleaning up lots of pollution, and also getting homeless people off the streets, getting them cleaned up, getting them taken care of somehow. I was taken aback. What a thing to do. Honestly. It sounded... I admired that. I wondered if he was telling the truth, I got to be honest. I was suspicious. I was very suspicious. What could I say? It just... But I realized there are people out there doing that. And I said, hello. I told him my story. I told him who I was and what just happened to me. He said, they kick you out. Your parents kick you out of the holidays? Man, that's cold. Well, now they got to spend time with each other. I don't know if they're ready to do that.
Maybe. Maybe.
Hey, you want to come with us? You want to join us? I was like, join you where? We're going around the world. We're going to basically help clean up. I've been helping people off the streets. We're going to do that. You want to join us? I said, sure. I got nothing better to do. How can I take care of myself? So look, I'll take care of room and board. I'll take care of the food and the place to live and whatever we'll be staying in hotels and whatnot. No, but you're joining us now. You're with us. You stay with us. You come with us. I was in shock. Pictures, the very night I was kicked out, this happens. This door just opened up in front of me. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't going to have to go back to my parents. I got a job. I got a place to stay. It was a gift. Organic OK had granted me a gift from above, a real gift. He said, dude, what's your name? I told him my name. He said, no, you see, you need a different name. I'm going to dub you DJ Butterfly Feces. Why DJ Butterfly Feces? I asked him. Because I told him all about my radio gig and what. Never, and he had this whole thing about basically everyone knows about how the caterpillar spins a cocoon, and when it toils in its workshop, it emerges a beautiful butterfly when it's done. The metaphor for life is in that, to work hard, to evolve, to become something great and take flight. But the feces is left behind. A lot of plant life compost grows from that. I hated the name, but I wasn't going to agree with him. I mean, I wasn't going to argue with him, I mean. He was taking me in. I said, all right, fine, I'm with you guys now. And before I knew it, we spent the night talking and whatever, and then next morning we were on our way. We went to Vicenza, Italy, to spend New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I noticed, God, it was really different. So when you taste Italian food in Italy, you can taste the difference. It's 7:15 here on the program. Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. And Kyle Organic Care, are you still there? Anywho, I invite you to call in and tune in. Okay, we're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. The show is brought to you by Organic Okay. Now, if you've been following our show, as you should, you know, yesterday we're still in Sydney in Australia, the biggest city, the home of the Sydney Opera House. We're there. But the truth is, things are bad. Things were bad. Things have been bad. I came across this man who was a drug addict. And this wasn't a guy living in a studio apartment or whatever. He was on the street. He was a homeless guy whose drug habit had cost him everything. He's on the streets, and he's still addicted to drugs. I mean, dang. I remember just basically feeling like I needed to do something. I heard his whole story, how drugs cost him everything. And then I sat down. I listened to basically everything. His whole story, his whole life, how he had wound up here and how drugs still played a major problem. And the stuff he did to get drugs, I can't really talk about this on the radio. This is supposed to be a show for general audiences. Dang. I sat with him and talked. We talked. I said to him, I'm your friend. And he told me. He said, I don't think I had any friends for a while. I haven't had any friends in years. They all just, my problem just made it so messed up. God, I need a fix right now. I need to use. I need to indulge. I need to shoot up. I need it. He showed me the scars on his leg where he shot, the veins where he shot up and whatever. He told me that how he was on all different kinds of drugs. He told me. And the truth is, I remember... I remember just basically feeling for him. I remember all I wanted to do was help him. There's someone who especially needs our help. I know a lot of people need help here. People were sleeping rough out here, but dang it, what we have here is a case of a guy who basically has an addiction. He is messed up. I don't know what to do. I remember just feeling helpless. I remember just honestly feeling like I wish I could do everything in my power to help this guy. He started shaking. He was shaking his body. He was dying to indulge again. I stayed with him. I put my arms around him. I held him. I said, shh, shh, it's okay, it's okay. He started to struggle, but I just held on to him tight. I said, shh, calm down. Then for a moment, I just released him so he could let it out. And he was shaking. He was just making noises. He started screaming. I mean, dang. Obviously, this guy had a real problem. All I could think about was how I wanted to help him, how much I wanted to help, how much I wanted basically to save him. I thought about all the people that we helped, but somehow we never quite got them off the streets. And if we did, it didn't last long. You know, they're going to throw them right back out there. Honestly. I thought about how much I wanted to basically just stay with him. I tried to take his mind off. I said, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family. And honestly, he told me that he had some family. I asked him, couldn't you stay with them? He said they didn't want him. His drug problem was too, made him too much of an erratic mess. He was just broken. The mess had honestly made him too, you know. I held him in my arms. He started crying. I stayed with him the whole night. The whole night. I remember when I basically got back to the hotel we were staying at, Organic asked me, who are you? I told him all about my friend, my new friend. This homeless guy who's got a drug problem. This homeless guy who is just dying because he needed a fix. This homeless guy who is without means. This homeless guy who's dying. And Organic looked at me and nodded and he said, well, that was cool that you did that. But try to keep in mind we're supposed to be helping a lot of different people. Can't focus our attention on one guy. You know, some of these people, they're on the way out. There's just no saving them. Some people, they're not going to be saved. You have to decide what's right. You got to do what is necessary. I nodded. I thought about basically my new friend. I said, I'm his friend. Okay, looked at me. He's your friend now. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to help this guy. I'm trying to help him. Help him. I'm staying with him through these tough times. When he is destitute, he's without means, he's dying to get high again. I'm looking at him. He said, dude, you know, being thrown on the street, that should basically force him to sober up. How does he get his hands on drugs now? He uses other stuff. He goes to all these people, whatever. His drug problem has ruined his life. I really feel like it would help if I got him in touch with his family, if they would look after him. He said, good luck with that. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I felt honestly just like I wanted to cry for him. Like, why did I have to basically reach out and try to help this guy so much? Why did I have to forge a friendship with him? It's hard when you care. It's hard. I tell you something. All I could think about right now was how much I just wanted to save that man's life. I had trouble getting to sleep that night. I couldn't stop thinking about him. Couldn't get him out of my mind. Everything we did. I said, I'm going to find a way. Maybe I can get him in some drug rehab program. Maybe they'll help him, homeless or not. When I went back to see him the next day, I showed up basically and there were these people, there were these government officials picking up his body off the street. He had died. I was in shock. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know what to do. I just started crying. He didn't seem to have a chance. He never seemed to make it. He never seemed like there was going to be hope for him. But I still wanted to try. We're out here to try. thought about all the people we tried to help and didn't really, because we couldn't. We can pick up garbage off the street, but how do you convince somebody to pick people off the street, people who have been thrown out because they've been considered to be as wasteful and as toxic as anything else? I don't know. I didn't have any answers. I didn't. I just felt so, I don't know. I just started crying. I went back to the hotel at one point, and Organic saw me and asked me, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I told him. I nodded. He said to me, "See, I told you, can't save all of them. Can't save them all. Some are on the way out. Some of them are doomed. It's not your fault. You tried to help. You tried to save him. But there's only so much you could have done. I know he was your friend. I understand. I get that. But there's only so much you can do in life. In a way, I didn't want to help anymore. I just wanted basically to just try to go back to McKinleyville, beg my parents to keep me, and just, I don't want to wind up like him. I didn't think we could help anybody. How much help are we really doing? I just wanted to give up right there and then. But then something happened. I did sleep on it. And I had a dream about that guy. And when I woke up, I felt more inspired than ever. I said, you know what I'm going to do? Damn it, I'm going to fight 10 times harder to help these people. As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm with Organic, I am going to basically fight. I am going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to help 20 times, about as much as I need to. I'm going to save all these lives. I'm going to dedicate my life to this. I'm not going to stop until I'm dead. These people are going to get my help. You've been listening to Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here. The one and only, all right? You can pick up all our shows off blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank you all for listening at some point, and please get involved yourself. Once again, this problem affects everybody. Call us here every Monday and Tuesday from 7 to 7:30. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Thank you, and good night.